Last night we, or just right now in Salat al-Fajr, we finished the 25th juz. And starting from the 24th juz into the 25th juz and into the 26th juz, there are seven surahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or there are seven surahs. They begin with Surah al-Ghafir. And then after Surah al-Ghafir comes Surah Fussilat. After Surah Fussilat comes Surah Shura. And then Surah Zukhruf, Surah Dukhan, Surah Jathiyah, Surah Ahqaf. Seven surahs. What's common between all these seven surahs? They begin with Hamim. This is the only place in the Quran that seven surahs in a row, they begin with Hamim. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, in his tafsir, he writes that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu says that everything has an essence, and the essence of the Quran are these seven Hamim surahs. In fact, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he says, he gives a parallel. He says that imagine a family is looking for a place to live, and they come across a land which on which land there is an abundance of rainfall. So the man decides that he wants to live in this area. And he goes into that area and he comes across a very beautiful garden. And he sits in that garden and he begins to just, you know, engage and enjoy the garden in itself. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says that that area, that land on which there is an abundance of rainfall, the parallel of that is that this is like the Quran. And that garden in which that man goes and he enjoys himself is like those seven Hamim surahs. That when you get to these surahs, Ibn Mas'ud says that when you get to these seven surahs, you sit there and you enjoy these seven surahs that begin with Hamim. Now, what is the common in all them besides the fact that they begin with Hamim? The fact that they all were revealed in Makkah, number one. Okay, they all were revealed in Makkah. Number two, they all include the story of Musa alayhi salam. There is some mention of Musa alayhi salam in all the seven surahs. We also find that every single surah, they begin with something regarding the Quran. Think about it. Surah Al-Ghafir begins with Hamim Tanzeelul Kitab. Allah talks about the Quran. Surah Fussilat, Allah says, Tanzeelun min ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Shura says, كَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Again, Allah is talking about the Quran. In Surah Zukhruf, Allah mentions حَمِيم وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. The Quran, the book that is very clear in its message. The next surah, again Surah Dukhan, وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. Surah Al-Jathiyah, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Surah Ahqaf, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. All seven surahs, the second ayah after Hamim highlights the Quran in itself. Then we also find that what are these surahs about, these seven surahs? They are about that we as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a very strong and a very big responsibility, which is to convey the message of Islam to others. And in conveying that message, what are the obstacles that you and I were going to face? Those things are covered in these surahs. That what are the obstacles? Like in Surah Ghafir, Allah talks about Qarun. Allah talks about Haman. Allah talks about these kind of arrogant people. So these surahs, they talk about that. Also, we find that in these surahs, Allah talks about the superiority of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over all the previous ummahs. So likewise, so when you think about it, when you come to these seven surahs next time, and by the way, you won't find any other place in the Quran a hamim, like an isolated hamim. This is the only place in the Quran, seven surahs in a row, and they all begin with hamim. Now, inshallah, today from Surah Fussilat, I just want to share just one important ayah with all of you today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. That good and bad are not equal. Meaning that here in this context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about from the context of da'wah. That good and bad are not equal. Meaning that if someone is being abusive, someone is yelling, someone is being rude, disrespectful, then you being rude and disrespectful and behaving their same way shows that there is no difference between us and them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَإِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. When someone does wrong with you, you repel it with good. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Right now it's adawa, it might be enmity, but one day, inshallah, they may come close to you. Now, There is another broader perspective of this ayah, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. And that is that someone may do wrong with us, but that doesn't mean that we do wrong with them. See, a lot of times we feel justified that I can do wrong to someone else. Why? Because they did something wrong with me. First of all, is that in Surah Shura, which is also one of these seven surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Someone hurts you, the compensation of wrong is wrong in itself. Someone does something wrong to you, you are, by Islamic law, by Islam, you are allowed to get even with that person only to the extent of what wrong they have done to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ عَفَى. Whoever forgives, وَأَصْلَحَ, and they reconcile, then this is such an amazing reward that the reward is going to be given only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, Imam Ahmad Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, towards the end of his life, all those people, because during his time there was a great fitna that occurred regarding a topic regarding the Quran, and because of that he was imprisoned, and because of that he was tortured, and the people who tortured Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, they came to him at the end of his life and they began to seek forgiveness, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal forgave them. And his son would come to him and say that, why are you forgiving them? They tortured you in prison. You should be waiting for the akhirah and then get even with them in the akhirah. And that is when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi would say that Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And he says that on the day of judgment, we all will be on our knees. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, is there anyone that I owe a reward to? And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says that at that time when Allah will ask this question, I will be able to stand up and say, yes, O Allah, there are people who committed dhulm against me, but I forgave them and I reconciled my matters with them. And Allah says, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And then he will say that, oh, on this day of judgment, you owe me a reward. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a reward. So this is when someone does something wrong with you. However, the Quran does also say that when someone does something wrong with us, a lot of times what happens is that in doing the wrong back, we always cross limits and boundaries. So what do we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Quickly, inshallah, there's a very beautiful story. After the battle of Uhud, there were two instances, there was two situations where people came from outside to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was called the treachery of al-Raj'i, where people, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have a community, we are looking for some sahaba to come there and teach our community members about Islam, the Quran and so forth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he's not alimul ghaib. He does not know what is their sinister plans. So he sent a group of sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And what happened was that these sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they were walking into a trap and they all were massacred. They all were killed. Then the next person came. There was another incident right after that called the treachery of Bi'r Ma'una, or the tragedy of Bi'r Ma'una. And what happened in that was that there was a leader named Abu Barra. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from Najd. Now you have to understand, before the demarcation of the countries like Saudi Arabia and so forth, long ago in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had a separation of Hijaz and Najd, by the way. And in Hijaz you had Mecca, in Hijaz you had Medina, in Hijaz you had Taif and so forth. But Najd actually covered 80% of that land. Now this person, he is a chieftain of a Najd, the area of Najd. And he is coming to the Prophet ﷺ and he's saying that there is a lot of potential there. We want you to send some of your sahaba there to teach our people there. I'm impressed about Islam, but I'm not willing to right now accept Islam. Send some people over there. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he had already found out about what happened at al-Raj'i. And the Prophet ﷺ was very skeptical, but because Abu Barra kept on insisting, and then he did something which was very powerful at that time, he gave his protection. Now in the Arabs, when you gave your protection to someone else, then they were under your protection, and by any means or by no means were they to be harmed at all because they are under your protection. And the rule was that, for example, if A and B are allies and B gave their protection to C, then A has to also honor that request too. Okay, A has to also honor that demand and that protection. So what happened was that Abu Barra says to the Prophet ﷺ, I give you my protection. Now at that time, it was a very powerful statement. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, fine, I'll send you the best of my own. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sent 70 sahaba. 70 sahaba who were considered as qurra. These were those who memorized the Quran till that point, wherever Quran had been revealed. And these were people who were from the Ashabu Suffa primarily. So the Prophet ﷺ, he sent them. But what happened was that Abu Barra, even though he may have had a good intention, there was another chieftain in An-Najd whose name was Amr bin Tufail. Amr bin Tufail. Now don't get this mixed up with Tufail ibn Amr. These are two different people, okay? Tufail ibn Amr accepted Islam on the hands of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was from Daws. This is another person, Amr bin Tufail. Now, Amr bin Tufail, he had a hatred of Islam in his heart. So what happened was that when the Muslims, they came, and there was a land where there was a well called Ma'una. And that's why it was called Bir Ma'una, the tragedy of Bir Ma'una. So from there, the Muslims, they sent one of their messengers to Amr bin Tufail, that go and tell them that we are here. As this person, his name was Haram bin Milhan, he had gone there as a messenger. Now, even amongst the Arabs, if you were a messenger, they are not to be killed, and they are not to be harmed at all. No matter how much you despise them, they are not to be hurt at all. So he came all the way there. Now, Amr bin Tufail is reading that letter that has come from the Muslim camp, that we are camped at Bir Ma'una. And what he did was that he gave like a small signal that go and kill Milhan. And while Milhan was there, right behind him, someone came and attacked him. And the books of Seerah mention that a man came from behind him and put a spear through his body, which caused his death at that time. And by the way, as soon as that spear pierced through his body, the first thing that came out of his mind is, Fuztu bi Rabbil Kaaba. That's the first thing that came out of his mouth. Fuztu bi Rabbil Kaaba. That I have succeeded. He died on the spot. And then he told, Amr bin Tufail told, that go to this place where all these sahabas are. Now the sahaba did not come with the intention of war. They came with the intention of teaching and ta'aleem and ta'allum and so forth. And when they were surrounded, all of them were massacred. All of them were killed. And at that time, what happened was that there were two people who had gone to go fetch water. One was a Muhajir companion by the name of Al-Mundhir, and there was another one, his name was Amr. And so both of them, when they were coming back bringing water, they began to notice that there were vultures in the air. And that was a signal that there is something going on wrong, because vultures will only go where there are corpses. So Amr said, who's the Muhajir, he says, I don't think we should go there right now. I think there's something, we're walking into danger. But Al-Mundhir, who was Ansari companion, he said that how do you expect us to leave our Sahaba and just go back to Medina? It doesn't make any sense. We can't leave our Sahaba stranded and our companions. So they went, and what happened was that they walked into a trap. And at that time, those people sent by Amr bin Tufail, they killed Al-Mundhir on the spot. So he also was a shaheed. However, Amr was able to escape. Now, as Amr escaped, now here's the key part. While this one is the whole story, but this is the key part here now. As he was coming and making his way to Medina, he came across two people who came from the same tribe as Amr bin Tufail. Now, these two people have come from Medina. They have left Medina. They're headed towards Najd. They're heading back home, basically. And they have no idea what has happened there at home. They have no idea what has happened in their tribe and how Amr bin Tufail, he has attacked the Muslims and he has committed a massacre. And on the other hand, he, Amr, does not know that they have come straight from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what did he do? He actually, while he was there, he knew. He asked them, where are you going? He said, we're going there. Which tribe do you belong to? We belong to that tribe. Amr has not told them. And he, because he was so much filled with anger and rage, when these two people from that same tribe of Amr bin Tufail, while they were sleeping, Amr killed both of them. Okay? Amr killed both of them. Now, once again, لا تستوي الحسنة ولا سيئة. What happened and what that tribe did, they did absolutely wrong. And what Amr is doing is also wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. So he went. Now, what happened was that, as you know, when you at that time you kill someone, you start searching what they have. As he began to search, he came across a paper which said that these two people have been given protection by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he's thinking to himself, "Oh my God, what have I done?" He goes all the way back to Medina. He says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what I've done. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, think about this for a moment here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said that, you know what, they killed 70 of ours, you killed two of theirs, it's fine, don't worry about it. I gave them my protection, but it's fine. La tastawil hasanatu wala sayya. Good and bad are not equal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely upset with him. He says, how dare? And he says, Ya Rasulullah, but they killed so many of ours, and we killed two of theirs. Doesn't that work out little? I know it's still imbalanced, but we killed two of theirs, and they killed so many of ours. The Prophet still said, he says, no, it's not right. What they did was wrong. But what you're doing is also wrong. It does not make it right what you're doing. And that's the lesson for all of us. Is that when people do us wrong, or when people do something that is wrong, if I do wrong back, there's no difference between that person and me. So that's why, لا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he found out about this, he then decided that he has to give. Because at that time, even till today, according to Islamic law, the penalty of manslaughter is what? What's the penalty for manslaughter? 100 camels. Not a red camel. 100 camels, okay? 100 camels is the penalty. So he decided that I have to now give 200 camels, and lo and behold, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was able to give and arrange for 200 camels, and he gave it to that family. But the point is, this entire story, if there's one thing that it taught us, is it taught us the integrity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It taught us that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that two wrongs don't make a right. The Prophet alaihi wasallam taught us la tastawil hasanatu wala sayya. So next time, if there's someone who does something wrong to us, yes, Islam has given us permission to get even with that person. But at the same time, if we forgive and let them go, and you put into the hereafter, then inshallah, there will be justice. Most certainly there will be justice. But at the same time, if someone does us something, some wrong, and we go back and we do wrong to them, well, there's no difference between us and them then. As much as we want to despise them and what they have done, then we have to criticize ourselves too, because I'm no different in that case. So that's why we understand this ayah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah give us the tawfiq to apply these kind of ayat in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give us the ability to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يئوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.